Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right. Humpity hump day. Wednesday it is. Here we are. Hope your week is going well. Mine's all right. You know, I'm still beat from this weekend. It's a long week, y'all. But you know what? The cooler weather's coming. Got to tell you, going to Chicago this past weekend, everyone's like, oh, it's so cold. How'd you deal with the cold? I loved it. I love the cold weather. Everyone over-idealizes heat and sun. I don't like it. I'm not meant to be in SoCal. I'm meant to be up north, but I'm here for career purposes and doing my best, but starting to cool down. So it affects my mood. We've talked about this a zillion times, seasonal affective disorder. It's not just the oncoming cold and dark that makes you depressed. For me, it's the heat. So I'm going to start to feel better now that the cool and cold is coming. So question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what's your stance on age when it comes to dating? Does age really matter? So we're going to talk about that now. But before we do, I just want to point out that I know what's going on in the news with T.I. and the whole Hyman gate. And I'm biting at the bit to talk about it, but it's not in our show tonight. We'll be talking about tomorrow, so hang in there. But you know I got a lot to say about it. That is a mess. Let's just leave it there. There's so many things wrong with that. Fathers thinking they own their daughter's sexuality. Anyone thinking they own anyone's sexuality. Ugh. All right, but Keanu Reeves, he's in the news. Why? He's a good one. That's all I consistently hear is how great of a guy this guy is. But he's in the news because he was at an event. He is 55 with his business partner and girlfriend, Alexandra Grand, who's 46. She has gray hair. People are shocked by that, right? They're saying, finally, someone who's dating someone age appropriate. We're going to break that down. But I want to first just share the story more. Hollywood historically has been, you know, a place where people are dating people in different age brackets. We have Demi Moore, who dated Ashton Kutcher many, many decades, her junior. And we have Leonardo DiCaprio, who's known for dating women about 20 years younger. Dennis Quaid, who's 65, is engaged to a woman who's a 26-year-old PhD student. And Dane Cook, 46, dating a 19-year-old. Okay. So, and also Helena Bonham Carter is dating someone 21 years younger. Now, let's break this down. Ageism goes both ways. When you're shaming someone for dating someone younger, there's ageism in that, just like dating someone older. A lot of people are inappropriately assuming that there's a power differential in that. Let me just start by saying this. It's financial and economic means that actually create the most profound power imbalances. Whoever in a relationship generates and brings in the most income is the one that usually tends to feel most empowered to make most of the decisions, and tends to overuse that privilege. It's not necessarily age. It's definitely financial. Age can factor in, but we can't assume that because there's an age differentiation that there's an exploitative factor in there. It's not fair to say that because it's about finding someone you connect with. That's what love and dating is. It should be rooted in chemistry and compatibility, and that's not necessarily tied to someone being plus or minus a few years of your age. Because again, health is about dating what's appropriate for you, not this made up age appropriate. There really is no definition of age appropriate, and everyone's going to have a different one because chronological age, the amount of time you've been on this planet, doesn't promise maturity. It doesn't promise inherent relational skills. It doesn't promise anything. And I want people to find partners that make sense to them and work into their life. And that could mean a wide gap in age. So when we're talking about Dennis Quaid, 65, engaged to someone who's 26, it's really kind of patronizing to the 26-year-old to assume that she's exploited and not in a relationship she wants to be in, and that she's not necessarily in love and empowered. It's offensive. You don't know their relationship. She's a 26-year-old PhD student. Clearly, she has some level of intelligence and competence in there. So let's not make those assumptions. I'm thankful for anyone that's in a healthy relationship. And exploitative factors exist in people that are in quote-unquote age-appropriate relationships. Happens all the time. There's a lot of couples in my practice that have a really problematic or abusive partner, and they're the same age, right? And people can be different ages and be in very loving unions. And that's what it really should be about. Is the relationship healthy? Is there care and love there? That's what we should be asking about, not how old are they or how much money do they make, right? But we get hung up on these social constructs. So Helena Bonham Carter is dating someone 20 years younger. Girl, do you. Do your thing. Hope you're having hot sex. Dennis Quaid is 26-year-old engaged partner. Hope you guys are having sex every minute on the minute. Like, do your thing. So Keanu Reeves dating someone who's younger than him by 5 years, I think it is, but with great hair. Great. He eroticizes older women. Now, what's really amazing is although our culture tends to fetishize and eroticize youth, Pornhub has released their 2018 most searched key terms, which tells us what billions of people around the world are looking for in terms of pornography every day, which is the most profound quantitative thing we have to understand eroticism in our current world. And guess what falls in the top five most searched terms? Three of the five are tied to older women, MILFs and older women terms. So although we like to publicly eroticize and idealize youth with ads and advertisement and marketing and, you know, using words like anti-aging, in true eroticism, it's older women. So we got to figure out what that tension's about. But having said that, y'all date who makes sense to you. As long as you're healthy, I'm happy. I'm not going to shame you. So well done with that one. But that's our question of the night. So I'm going to be curious to hear what y'all have to say about that one. Give us a call, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. We can talk it out. We can debate it a little bit. But yeah, find what works for you. Seriously, that's what it's about at the end of the day, you know? And I always tell people, you want to kind of push on your boundaries. You don't know what's going to wind up working for you. We can make a lot of assumptions based on what has in the past. We can make a lot of fantasy projections as to what we think will work for who we are now. I've traditionally dated people that were younger than me. Jared Hill will be on later in the show, and we'll be talking about that, and I'll kind of be explaining what that means for me. But I appreciate all different ages, you know? So anyway, that's that, y'all. All right, coming up next, Chris James, a winning, award-winning writer, director, actor, and author of Sons of Chaos. We're going to be talking about that and also his conservationism, because I love people that are out there trying to make the world better. You know, we got to be doing more of that. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question tonight up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what's your stance on age when it comes to dating? Does age really matter? We need to break that on down later in the show and sitting down with Jared Hill. But right now we got Chris James. You got a long tagline. You kind of done it all. Award-winning writer, director, actor, and author of Sons of Chaos. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's start off with this one. So I was flipping around in her IG. You nailed Beetlejuice for Halloween.
Oh, thanks.
Amazing.
Yeah. That was not much my doing. That's okay. My girlfriend obsessively forcing me to let her make up my face, and that was my real hair.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't tell you we're in a cap today, but good hair. Hey, why Beetlejuice?
That was her doing. I guess she sees that in me somehow. I think
we could do a whole show around that statement.
Yeah, in the middle of the night or morning, I think I sort of resonate a sort of Beetlejuice-ishness. But, you know,
it works for her, so she loves it.
Look, she's staying the course and actually trying to bring it out of me more, as you can see.
Okay. So you've pretty much been on every top show. Let's list them. Lost, Party 5, Chicago Hope, NYPD Blue, Touched by an Angel. Well done, sir.
All the current hits.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not playing games.
No, you kind of checked them all. What's that journey been like?
When you're young in LA, and I grew up outside of here, you know, in your teens, you start working as an actor and it kind of rolls along pretty effortlessly. And so I just bounced around, and then I had kind of stopped trying to be an actor, and I was writing and directing things. And then I actually got offered Lost from a casting director that knew me, and I got offered it on Facebook.
That's where we're currently at.
Yeah.
Facebook job offers.
Right. It was amazing.
That show is iconic.
Yeah.
My mom lived and died by that show. Yeah. I mean, no joke. So well done. Okay. So let's jump in and talk about your book, because there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about, but I want to make sure we definitely hit the book. So let's just kind of start there.
Oh, sure.
So graphic novels.
Yes.
Phenomenal. What made you want to write about the topics you're writing about?
Nothing. No, but
cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, it was in my searching for purpose and meaning in life. I went through a list of things, and that was not on there, and that's what I chose. Mostly because, So the story is kind of like, when I was young, I was very obsessed with Les Miserables, the Victor Hugo book,
really?
More so than the musical. But I am guilty of tearing up, singing along to the musical. Often on the 405 when I was a child driving to auditions.
Very LA of you.
Super LA and hypersensitive, you know. But I was always obsessed with Jean Valjean and how selfless he became to rebuild himself into a person who was living selflessly to bring other people's love to fruition.
Oh.
And I get teary-eyed when I start thinking about him living that manner and sacrificing himself to make other people happy. And so when I learned about this revolution in Greece in 200 years ago, I started to see similarities and it resonated with me. And so it was sort of like my version of Jean Valjean.
It's so beautifully random and obscure to me somehow.
For me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And go back a minute to something you said. When I was looking for purpose, what had happened in your life that you felt like I need to rechart my purpose?
I woke up just in the morning.
Sound like me. Every day I wake up, yeah. I'm like, who do I need to be?
Right.
Who am I?
That's not changing for me. And
good.
I'm 46 and it happens multiple times a day.
I think that's beautiful.
I hope so. I'm still hoping so. And I'm still searching. And each day is like the next thing. And so I think in our current world that's kind of infused with so many things from so many different levels and layers every day, all the time, and noise, and it's irregardless of truth. It doesn't matter. You search and you say, how can I make this a little better? And it's a mystery every day that I have to rewrite.
But I think that's the most honest stance, right? Because I think like people that have figured it out, I think they figured it out. I don't think that's real or true.
Yeah.
And there's always more to do. And I think it keeps life interesting because I also, like yourself, have a multifaceted, multi-tiered life and career. And that's what keeps me charged and ready to get out of bed every day.
Yeah, I think that's the only way. Because if you're not reinventing it, then I'm sleeping.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Is that hard for your girlfriend to keep up with you?
I don't know. I think
let's get her on the phone.
Yeah,
just kidding.
Yeah, call her up.
Harriet, get her on the phone.
She seems okay. I mean, she has a really stable day-to-day. She does hair on the show Modern Family. And so she's very, structured and has been doing that job for 9 years. And I'm more the one that's every day saying, I don't know what I'm doing with my life today. So let me write a graphic novel.
Because that's what you do.
Right.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah.
I so appreciate that. I date that way as well. I need an anchor because I'm very much constantly drifting around. And I think that's what allows us, me and you,
yes,
to drift, is that we have that anchor.
I don't think two of those go well together very often.
Two anchors are boring as hell.
Yeah.
And two people that are drifting never quite intersect with each other.
Totally.
Right? Yeah. So tell me more about this specific topic because although important, random and obscure to me anyway.
Yeah. It honestly,
and we're talking again about Sons of Chaos. We got Chris James with us tonight, and he's kind of talking to us about his journey.
Look, the truth is, if you talk about the arena that the story is in, it's just noise, right? The arena is a revolution that happened 200 years ago, which is very important to a population of Greeks who were under the oppression of the Ottoman Empire for 400 years. The first 300 was kind of okay. The last 100 went bad and chaos, and then it stimulated an uprising for the people to regain their freedom. Most people don't know that Greece wasn't free all this time. Greece only became free again 200 years ago. So what we see now is a place to hang out and have debauchery sessions and lounge around.
Mykonos.
People.
Let me get my Speedos ready.
Soho House did just open a bar there So
I don't know if that's like a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if that's the tipping point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe we should go to Hydra.
That's right.
But the point is we see it as a place to buy some tourist stuff and look at columns and think of this.
Yeah.
But we're not realizing that a few minutes ago, people were wondering how to survive every day. And there was bloodshed everywhere that you're now taking a selfie.
That's powerful. It's also really beautiful. Coming up next, we're going to talk more. And I also want to talk about your conservation work, because I am always so impressed by people that are trying to tackle the macro and the micro as well. Chris James, you're going to be sticking around with us. Question of the night, it's up on our Loveline IG page. It's about age gap relationships. So weigh in on that. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back. Got a question of the night up on Loveline IG page. Weigh in on that. We're going to break that on down later in the show. And of course, it's Wednesday, so we'll be doing a little celebrity rehab, talking about Emma Watson. But right now we got Chris James, writer, director, actor, and author of Sons of Chaos. We're talking a little bit about the book. I love your thought process. It very much mirrors mine. You kind of talk in a very meta way where your thought process is just like bigger and beyond and too intellectual for the question asked itself. So like, I love listening to your answers when you're like, I don't know.
Thanks. I think it comes from you. If you grow up in a space of sometimes a fear-induced space, it stimulates a vulnerability and an awareness that's heightened, and it almost becomes this antenna-like process that you use to survive. And over the course of time, your hypersensitivity expands, and it forces you to understand how to make it through days and circumstances in a way that you can function.
Yeah, and that, I think that's also, for me, what's been one of my assets in working as a therapist, is that journey myself. So we were talking about your book, Sons of Chaos, and you were blowing my mind, because as you were kind of pointing out, a lot of us don't really understand what we're encountering when we go to Greece.
Right.
And we think it's just a big party spot. But like, there's a lot of history there that's not always talked about.
Yeah. I mean, from the beginning, from, you know, the thousands of years ago. But it was even like the Greek legacy even has modern elements that we're overlooking and kind of just partying over the spaces where they were dying
but
for
that's
us.
That's what we do well as Americans. We're not very historically centric, right? And there's so much rich material in that. So what's next for you? Where do you go? Because I'm looking at the map of your career, and you're also off air telling me about your skateboard career. And I'm kind of like, dude, you've checked a lot of the boxes. So what's next?
I would like you to tell me that, because I'm still trying to figure that out every day.
I'll tell
day.
You. I think it's a memoir.
All right.
I do.
Yeah. Well, that would be
two reasons.
Fun. Yeah.
One, because I think your journey has a lot in it, and I think that you could pull out some beautiful gems from that, but I also would be curious to see the vulnerability in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm down for that. Let's start.
Okay. Am I co-authoring this with you? Is that what's happening right now?
Apparently. Where do we begin?
So I want to just jump in on something that I heard. There's some whispering around here. Apparently, your mom is a very colorful figure in your life, relationally speaking.
Oh, yeah. We grew up together pretty closely. I'm the only child. And it was me and her and, you know, a number of men. Along the way.
Said with love, a number of men. So can you tell us some of the juicy ones? Tonight we're talking with Chris James, author of Sons of Chaos, and I'm getting a little nosy in his personal life.
I mean, okay, the time, since we only have a little time here, I'll focus on the kind of most profound one, which is the simple fact that my stepfather is my younger, at one point, best friend. Now he's my father, but, you know, but prior to that, in our teens, we were buddies. And I was away at school and I came back, and it was a very lovely long version of the story.
Okay.
But the very short version is shortly after a period of chaos, my mom took solace and found comfort within my friend at the time, and they became together and are still together today. And that is 25
And you know what?
Later.
Well done
exactly.
for her. And tonight's sub-theme was age gap relationships.
There
so
you
beautifully
go.
Ties in. But for those that want to know more, guess how you're going to learn more? When Chris James writes his memoir. That's going to be a full chapter.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out what the title's going to be.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be really juicy. Uh-huh. You're like, I can't wait either. So talk to me a little bit about your conservation work. I think for a lot of people, this is kind of... a spot that isn't always entered into. And I'm a fan of people that have a platform doing something to try to, on a macro level, help make the world a better place.
Sure. I think in this scenario, there's a bunch of layers of how we are working on making the world a better place. But in terms of the conservation stuff, the prime energy has gone in the past 10 years working with a place in Key Largo. I grew up an ocean kid, you know, in Huntington Beach was a rescue scuba diver in my teens. And so I was very connected to ocean stuff. So as I was getting older, I started trying to go back to that purpose, and starting from the point of an activist that was, against SeaWorld and animals and pools and things
sure.
like this. And then I went past that to realize, oh, this is a bigger thing. Complaining about SeaWorld doesn't help anyone. Complaining about animals and pools doesn't help anyone. And what you have to do is you have to learn about what really goes on here. And what it is the majority of animals in captivity have been born in there. There's only a few left that came from the wild in our country. And so I've been working with a place called Island Dolphin Care for about 9 years now. And what we have done is created a purpose for animals that can't go live in the ocean. And so it's a not-for-profit where there's a therapy program for special needs kids with the dolphins. And so there's no exploitation or
Stunning.
Swim with dolphins.
Stunning.
So instead of just complaining, it's like, how do we repurpose these animals' lives to be better
right.
Since they can't live in the ocean?
Well done. Instead of slapping Band-Aids on, do something far better. Chris James, where can people find you?
ChrisJames.com. It's JAYMES.
Well done. We got to have you back on because there's so many levels to your story that I want to talk about. Every time I ask you a question, you add like another one. Thanks for coming by Loveline. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs, listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we got question tonight. It's up on our Love on IG page. It's about age gap relationships. Does age matter? Weighing on that, we're going to be breaking that down, doing a little celebrity rehab. But right now, it's time for those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Dear Dr. Chris, I've been dating this girl for about a month. I've known her for about 3 years, and we've been friends for 1.5. Sorry, all these numbers already went over my head. It's one of those long days. Within the last 6 months or so, we've gotten close, and she started texting me a lot every day. And I eventually asked her to be my girlfriend. Within the last few days, she's seemed to have gotten further. She's not interested in doing anything. She seems annoyed all the time with me, and she's not answering any of my texts. Am I just being insecure, or did maybe something happen? Something happened. Here's what I always remind people. When a pattern changes, there's a reason for that change or shift. And so it could have been something that's going on in her life. It could be something that's happened between the two of you. But yes, we unconsciously create some kind of pattern or habits with people in our lives that are close to us. And when that changes, there's a reason for that. It's not necessarily bad, and it's not necessarily you, but yeah. You know, and when we're talking about romantic or sexual relationships, if someone's texting you good morning every morning and then they disappear for a day or two, yeah, I think it's healthy and understandable for someone to be sensitive to that and to say, hey, we used to connect or be closer and now things have kind of shifted. What's going on? You got to talk that one out, you know, because I can't really weigh in on what might have created that, but I do support you in the idea that something's definitely shifted. So, yeah, you got to talk that one out. That's one of those ones where you got to reach out. We got another one. Dear Dr. Chris, I started talking to this girl about a month and a half ago. About a month ago, we talked about it and we got exclusive. Everything's okay, I guess, but everything is about sex. I feel like it started being all sex about a week after we went exclusive. The last week or so, we didn't even date. We just met up and had sex. I really don't think this is okay. Has anyone else been through this? What do you think I should do? It's possible that with exclusivity, this person then felt safe enough to start having a lot of sex with you. For some, being monogamous and exclusive makes them feel better about really focusing on that, where prior they're aware that you're maybe having sex or dating other people. But if you're not comfortable with the relationship being sex-centered, set a boundary around that. I mean, you basically said, we're having sex all the time. We don't even date. I just show up when we have sex. Say no. You got to set that boundary. You can say it ahead of time. Hey, I know you wanted to hang out today. I'm not really in the mood for sex. Let's go get food. Let's go to the movies. Let's go for a hike. Let's go for a walk. Create the kind of conditions you want. If you want to be going on dates, when you make plans to hang out, make it a date. Take the power back. You know what I mean? It's all about setting boundaries. Don't have sex you don't want to have. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Coming up next, we're going to be sitting down talking with Jarrett Hill about age gap relationships and then doing a little celebrity rehab. Listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and it's Wednesday night, so of course we got Jarrett Hill from Drop the Subject with us. What's going on, Jarrett?
That's me. I'm here.
I got your name right.
This time.
I know. It's been a long week.
It's been a long week.
I ask for you to give me a little grace.
I'll provide you with grace.
Thanks.
Even I was once, the longer hair that you've got going on this week and everything.
I wasn't able to get my weekly haircut. I was out of town lecturing in Chicago this week, and hey, it was phenomenal.
It's a good reason.
Yeah. But I was keynoting at a conference once down south, and before they introduced me, they were like, let's all offer him some grace. And I was like, whoa, what are you preparing here for?
Exactly. What are they about to do to you?
But it turned out to be something that was kind of appropriate because, you know, it was Southern, there's a little bit of religiosity in the room, and I was there dropping my sex positive gems all over the place, and the crowd wasn't ready. The crowd was not ready.
I can imagine they weren't.
So they needed to bring me that grace.
I'm sure.
Okay, so tonight's topic is around age gap relationships. We've talked about it before here, and I'll be on the morning show talking about it. And the topic recently is born out of Keanu Reeves being seen with his girlfriend. So Keanu Reeves is 55 and his girlfriend is 46. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that's not shocking, but yeah, to culture,
not,
it is.
That's because not she even has like a.
She has grayer hair.
Oh, she looks older than him.
Correct.
Okay.
And people are used to seeing youth. And I was talking earlier also about Helena Bonham Carter. She's dating someone 21 years younger. So everyone's going bananas. So where are you at with all this?
Well, so we talked actually a little bit about this on our show today on Drop the Subject, weekdays at 10.
It's I.
How it's you've been on the show.
It's no morning show, but
wow,
it'll do.
Wow. No, it's been great. Like I've always dated my age and up. Like I've always said like youth has never really been that attractive to me.
Mm.
And so I've always been like maybe 2 or 3 years younger than me, but generally like my age and up.
How high up have you gone?
The oldest I've gone out on dates with was 51.
Okay.
At the time, and that's, I was like age. 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is it about age that tends to have qualities that you're drawn to?
I've always been more of like an older soul kind of person. And then I've also just always kind of felt the connectivity there. I even like when I was very young, it was always like my age and up, like people that were younger. Like if you have a 2 in front of your age, it's not really going to be a turn on for me. I know that is for some people. And like, even if I'm on Tinder, there's one thing to look good for your age and there's another thing to look very youthful. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
And like really boyish, youthful, that's not really a turn on for me. Hmm. Whereas like looking good for your age, I mean, everyone's here for that, right?
Sure.
So, I'm a fan of like the age disparity kind of thing. Mm. I mean, mind you, I'm totally good with someone that's my age as well. But like, the younger thing just doesn't move me.
So you're saying about 2 to 3 years younger is max.
Yeah.
And you're making a face when you say that, so that's not even comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 34. 32, sure, maybe. But even that, like, you got to really bring it.
It's interesting because one can only be so far along in their life based on how many years they've been on this planet, mm-hmm. right? So I understand that people in their 20s and sometimes early 30s are understandably in the exact developmental stage they're supposed to be as far as figuring out career mm-hmm. and whatnot. I tend to date younger.
Yeah.
And I think for me, the way I tend to understand it is my career is so hyper academic and intellectual that when I'm not working, I want something that's very lighthearted and very energized.
I get that.
And so the youthfulness is a really big draw to me because it's an escape, it's a distraction, and it really brings out parts of myself that I don't get to tap into because of my work.
Mm.
And I work a lot, like you do as well.
Yeah.
And so it's like a vacation for me. I do value, though, people that are older than me. I'm kind of, I think, attraction-wise, I'm drawn to both, but I youthfulness has an energy and a escapism that I think can be really beautifully powerful for me.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah, I think for myself, with guys that have been older, I tend to connect with them more on like my view of the world, my view of career and those kinds of things. And I feel like I've also gotten it wrong a number of times, though, because sometimes I feel like the guys that I've dated have been like emotionally immature and not necessarily ready for something as serious. Like one, I won't get into specifics, but like, I feel like you can kind of see like where their development stopped sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, based on like career changes and things like that. So yeah.
Yeah. And the more relationships one's been in, the more hopefully they've gotten to learn about themselves and the better their relational skill set is.
Yeah.
And I think that could be the deficit sometime with youthfulness and also, yeah, a lack of life experience. But again, that's to be understood, right?
Sure.
And so there's some big educational moments that can happen around that. But yeah.
Absolutely. When you have a client that says they date certain age groups and not their specific age group, what does that say to you?
It depends. I don't inherently problematize anything because there's no right formula for everyone. So the example I kind of use, and then I'll circle back to this one, is, you know, if someone in our therapy world, we tend to assume difference is disordered. So if someone comes in, they're like, oh, you know, I'm non-monogamous, I'm in an open relationship, it's like, we want to talk about why. But when people come in, they're like, oh, I'm in a monogamous marriage, rarely are they like, let's talk about why you chose that and what might be the deficits of that.
Yeah.
So if someone comes in, they says, I date my age, or I date older, I date younger, regardless, I say, let's talk about why you choose that and the positives and negatives of that, because it's going to have both. We can't assume age appropriateness isn't even a real thing. It should be like you appropriate. Mm. And I just want to understand the qualities and the context.
I get that. That makes sense.
But we really want to...
There's no one size fits all.
Of course not, yeah. And people in our culture are really comfortable with this idea of age appropriateness. And I've heard people sling around magical formulas, and it's like, no, because again, chronological age doesn't promise anything. Definitely not maturity, right? You have to kind of explore and see.
Sure.
And so I tell people that are single and really want relationship, don't have an age limit. Like, take the time to go out if you're drawn to someone and figure out if it works, because you'll surprise yourself sometimes.
Yeah. You know? I went out with a 50-plus guy, and it was really great, and we had really good chemistry. We didn't end up getting into a relationship, but we've been friends ever since. And I was kind of taken aback by that as well, because it seemed like, this is a lot of years. My thing has been like, you can't be my parents' age and up. And my parents are like 57 and 56. So that was like close.
Because you equate them with your parents and it's hard to eroticize?
I don't know. I feel like that's a weird rule that I put in my head.
Yeah.
I mean, like a 60-year-old guy, I just can't really imagine what that would look like for me.
Right. It also depends. People that are older can sometimes get very comfortable and like the structure of their life and don't maybe have some flexibility in there. Mm. They feel very settled.
Yeah.
And I definitely am comfortable with mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it can be a problem, a little bit of a clash.
Sometimes I think the older guy that I want to date in my mind would be better about something like that. Like for me, in my last relationship, it was the first time it ever illuminated for me that I might not want to live with my partner.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't anything about him, because I adored him and
right.
and still think he's a fantastic person. But it was the first time I thought to myself, like, I've been living in this house by myself for a while. And like, I love having him here. I love when he stays over. But I also do enjoy coming home to a quiet house sometimes.
Bam.
And part of me thinks like, maybe I'll feel differently if I'm in the right relationship. And then part of me is like, I don't know. Maybe
and also hear me say you that you don't need to live with your partner, and it doesn't promise or speak to less or more love.
Yeah.
And it might be better that you don't, and you can still have sleepovers and have your own space, and you figure it all out. Jarrett Hill, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Jarrett Hill, 2 R's and 2 T's, JARRETT.
He's saying that for me.
Yeah, I am. And you can find me weekdays on Drop the Subject, weekdays at 10 o'clock right here on Channel Q.
All right, coming up next, a little celebrity rehab. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And before we get to a little celebrity rehab, I want to just unpack something quickly that came through my desk. So, you know, the gendered pronoun things is such an interesting topic, and it's fascinating to me to hear the people that get triggered by it. Like, there's so many people that are having a cultural struggle with the idea that we have to expand the perspective we have on how we reference people. And more movement. I shared this months ago that the dictionary now includes the use of they and them as a culturally acceptable, academically and intellectually acceptable way to refer to a single person, they and them. So it's he, she, they and them. That's the dictionary. Now the American Psychological Association has endorsed the use of the singular they. And they're saying it's officially good practice in scholarly writing to use the singular they. And why that's meaningful is for those that are therapy, counseling, or psychology students, the APA, American Psychological Association, they have rules and mandates for submitting what is considered an academic paper, research project, or journal entry. And so that's huge. The American Psychiatric Association also has finally issued similar guidance saying the pronouns they, them, and theirs are frequently used and even encouraged for use as a single pronoun. So that's stunning. And this is great. The new guidelines say the important thing is to use the pronoun supplied by the person in question. So basically saying whatever someone says to call them it. You know what I mean? They're all about that. And we're going to put that story up on our website, wearechannelq.com. So if you want to go deeper and read more about it. But I like these things because it legitimizes. It legitimizes what is. Whether or not you support that or not, and I say this all the time, it exists. And we have to get better about it, which is why I push back on research that just references men or women. Because I always say, well, what about trans individuals? Are they included too? What about people that are non-gendered? Oh, you're leaving them out? Well, why are you leaving them out? Why don't they matter? So yes, if you're out there doing your scientific research, we have to start to use these other pronouns as well and understand that there's other people existing in the world. All right, cool. Now that I can get back off my soapbox, it's time for some celebrity rehab.
Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Chris.
We got Nick Mora, Loveline's pop culture guru. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, so Emma Watson just changed the game for all the single people out there who are not getting cuffed this cuffing season. Dr. Chris, this actress made a really bold statement to British Vogue when she said, and I quote, "I never believed the whole I'm happy spiel. I was like, this is totally spiel. It took me a long time, but I'm very happy. I call it being self-partnered," which is like really amazing that she called it self-partnered versus being single. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, do you think that this is going to be the new thing? Is this going to be the new single? And what are your tips for being single and finding happiness within that?
So this is, you know, just part of the shift in what's going on with identification. It's interesting. We call it singleism, and it's just people that are kind of prejudicial against people that aren't in a relationship. And it's fascinating how someone who's single is always asked, why aren't you in a relationship? Which implies that everyone wants one or is working towards, when I've said this before, it's so fascinating to me that some people should be working their way towards singledom out of a relationship. Please don't assume that everyone wants a relationship or that because someone's in one, that they're somehow more mature or more successful or further along in life, because that's absolutely not true. And we have so much cultural anxiety and baggage tied around whether or not someone's in a relationship. So Emma Watson saying, I'm not single, I have a relationship with myself, just really kind of gets the conversation going, right? So I think there's something powerful in that, because she's really pushing back on the shame that, you know, someone cannot be seen as successful if they're not partnered. Not everyone wants to be in a relationship, right? And we always are, actually, though, in relationships. People are dating. People have friends with benefits. People have friendships. So there's no such thing as true singledom. It's just that people might not be in an exclusive dynamic. But as far as tips to really thrive and be successful in singledom, I would say focus on what's meaningful and important to you. Just give your life meaning and value. Ask yourself, what do I like doing? What do I want my life to be centered around? What are the things that make me feel good about my day and my time? And focus on that, whether that's going to be career, volunteering, activism, time with family, time with friends, art and creativity. And don't leave the space to necessarily be pondering about the things you don't have that maybe you don't even want, that culture is telling you need to have. You know, we're at a time where people are single longer. We have the highest rate of singledom we've had, and that's because people are being more thoughtful. They're leaving relationships that aren't working for them. They're focusing on career and other activities, and they're delaying relationship. And some people, like we've talked about, are now in open relationships or poly relationships. So it's all about multiplicity. So I love that she's saying that, because she's just legitimizing that, like, I'm happy. I'm good as I am, right? I don't need someone else to make me feel good. Now, some people do, and that's great too. Like, I tend to do better and thrive when I'm in a relationship. I like a lot of closeness and intimacy. I like a lot of support in the structure. And so it's not shaming relationality, because that's a really beautiful thing. But there's no necessarily right way to kind of run your life in terms of socialization. Some people are more asocial, where they don't like a lot of engagement, and other people kind of do. And so it's about finding the space that's right for you. But I love this topic. And it's interesting to see the comments, because people got so triggered when she said that. And they're like, just acknowledge you're single. And she's like, I don't have to and I won't. So there's something beautiful in that. So basically the tips to thrive are just focus on a life that's meaningful for you, you know. Often living on the margins is what's healthiest versus kind of uniformity and conformity and falling in line with what you've been told to do. So I don't know. We'll talk more about it. Coming up next, question of the night. What's your stance on age when it comes to dating? Does age really matter? Weigh in on that, because we'll be breaking that on down next. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And we're kind of breaking down a question of the night, which is tied to our theme of the night. And again, it's so fascinating how this is all over the news. I'll be on the morning show tomorrow. So if you want to hear more about it, check it out on the morning beat here on Channel Q. I'll be talking to Jay Michaela about this. But tonight's question is about your stance on age when it comes to dating. Does age really matter? And me and Jared Hill were talking about it. You know, in my life, I've really worked hard to focus on things that are me appropriate and allowing my life to sometimes live outside the confines of what's normal and expected for other people, right? Because love and relationship and sexuality is about finding someone that can transform you and you can transform them. It's about finding peace. It has to be outside of these ego social constructs of age and jobs and all these factors that really can get in our way of finding what we're looking for. So we got to be better than some of these constructs. So, all right, question of the night. What's your stance on age when it comes to dating, and does age really matter? Let's see what y'all had to say. I cannot wait. Approach with caution. Your age disparate partner could take advantage of you, older or younger. Here's the thing. People could take advantage of you, period. It's not going to be tied to age. You know, really problematic people do problematic things, and their age isn't going to speak to that. It's a personality trait. So yeah, don't date people that take advantage of you, but it's not necessarily tied to how old they are, how much younger than you they are, right? Someone else said, I don't care. Honestly, at this point, economically, I'm looking for a sugar daddy. I love you for that. Let's just keep it real. You know what? Be whatever age you want to be, as long as you'll financially take care of me. You're like me on that first date. You're like, you pay bills? Because if so, this date's going to keep going. I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. That made me laugh. I needed that. Does age matter? What are your thoughts on age? When I was 20, I liked 20-year-olds. I'm 35, and I still like 20-year-olds. Should age change your taste? Hey, if it does, it does. If it doesn't, right? We don't really have control over that. Imagine if you had to date someone in your age bracket. I can't imagine being forced to date someone I didn't want to, or having to sit with this one for a minute. Imagine having to eliminate someone you are so drawn to, someone you connect with, and someone you're interested in because of age. And of course, we're talking about, you know, someone over the age of 18. Like, I guess that's a caveat I have to throw in there. But I couldn't imagine being told that there's a legal number, as long as they're of age, that determines who I can date. That's not how love works, right? The heart wants what the heart wants, y'all. All right, someone else said I'm torn because exploitation of youth is so normalized for women, but to each their own. Yeah, you know, exploitation of women is normalized. It's not necessarily whether they're older or younger. And be careful of exploitation, right? And it's a horrible, horrible thing, but it's not necessarily based on age. And you're drawn to and attracted to what you're attracted to. I really, really struggle with people assuming that if someone's older, they're inherently exploiting or taking advantage of someone who's younger. I've dated many younger people, and there's nothing exploitative in that. And the power dynamics have often sometimes been in reverse, where they tended to have more power than I did in the relationship. So we can't make those assumptions, right? It's case by case. As far as age, it doesn't matter. Someone else said, haven't had luck dating younger, but my ex was 12 years older. Love older men. Do you? That's great. Congrats. Someone else said, if there's a power dynamic, it can be. There should be respect and understanding. Yep. Can be. Doesn't mean there is. What's your stance on age when it comes to dating? Does it matter? Someone said, not for me. To a certain point in current conditions, too much of a gap leads to power imbalance. Too much of a gap can lead to power imbalance. It doesn't necessarily. What you have to really worry about in terms of power imbalance is usually income. Whoever makes more money socially and psychologically tends to feel most empowered. And so the studies show it's more based on economics, not age. P.S. So I said, it doesn't matter if you're 18. Before that, it does. 10 plus, my age usually gives better connections. Okay. I respect that. You know, I want, again, people to date what works for them. Somebody else said, not for me to a certain point. In current conditions, too much of a gap leaves paramount. Oh, we said that already. Someone said, age definitely matters, but it's more about your age and maturity, not years. And that's really what it is. It should be rooted in actual maturity because, again, someone's chronological age doesn't speak to their maturity level, their relational skill set, experiences in life. And I want people to find someone to witness life with them. I want people to find people to go do the things I want to do with and have sex and love and all the factors they're looking for. And so when I'm working with people that don't want to be single anymore and want relationship, I tell them, think broad. Think broader than you're comfortable thinking. Push on your own limits. Don't assume you know what you need. And again, some of these social ideals and constructs are going to kind of sometimes get in our way. And so we have to sometimes be better than that. And so when people are setting up dating profiles as well, I tell them, make sure that the qualities you're listing that you need, make sure they're not rooted in your ego. Make sure they're not rooted in you not being willing to do the work you need to do. So just check in on that. Because some people will list these factors, height, economics, and things that necessarily don't, again, speak to a beautiful partnership. Because usually what comes into my office is chemistry and compatibility issues, and it's around personality factors. It's not directly tied to age or these other things, right? So just find people that you care about and that can care about you. We'll keep talking about this, though. I mean, it's all over the news. It will continue to be. I feel like every, 4 to 5 months, somehow it cycles back and I'm talking about this. So I'm sure we'll be hitting this topic again. All right. Thank you, as always, to those that participated. And thank you guys for your vulnerability. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. DMs coming from our Loveline IG page or Dr. Donahue IG page. So slide on in, give us your questions. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Time to slide into those DMs. Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sex of the world and we want you to explore with confidence. All right, here we go. I am a trans man and an atheist, and my cis husband is having a very hard time with being gay. We've been married for a year and we've been together for over 6 years. Congratulations. That's a long time. I always have to say that when I see people with a multi-year relationship, it's well done. Well done, the two of you. Trust me, if the signs were there, we wouldn't have gotten married. But now it's getting bad. My husband has a very hard time reconciling his Christian beliefs with his homosexuality, which causes him to be hostile to my atheism. Wow, this is complex. It upsets me because why do I need to be in this struggle of reshaping myself for what some old ass book said? Woof. How can I help support him and get through and help him get through his issues with his identity without discrediting his religious beliefs? Okay, first off, I empathize with your struggle. Very difficult. And I empathize with your husband's struggle as well. You know, he entered a relationship that was heterosexual. Now it's homosexual. I'm assuming that the hard time being gay implies that, you know, he met you when you were cis or cis presenting or identified. This is what I've come to realize with some people that are deeply rooted in a religious faith, is that you nor I can be empowered enough to help them make sense of it, and that they might need to see someone from their faith. So people that have entered my practice, some of them with Catholicism or Christianity or whatever it is that's, you know, where they're struggling with the homosexuality or some kind of kink or whatnot. Some of them, you know, me as an expert, I was able to help reduce the shame and normalize and all was well. But sometimes I said, listen, you need to find someone from your faith, your Christian background or, you know, Christianity, and talk to them because they can cite scripture and they can speak from a position that I can't, because I don't know the Bible and I'm not a priest or a pastor, and they need to hear that sometimes. So maybe support your partner in finding a gay supportive church and have the pastor or the priest take a meeting with him and they can work through it together. That's probably anything you can do, because, you know, again, these things are deeply ingrained. It's how they're socialized. And you and I aren't powerful enough for some people to really challenge orthodoxy like that. And I accept that, right? So do some Googling. Luckily, we're at a time where you can find that. There's a lot of people that are evolved enough to understand inclusivity and religiosity. And so there's also really great books. Do some homework, but again, know that you on your own, you're not going to be able to speak for that faith. And people from a faith background need to hear that. And so know that those supports are out there, though. I have a couple great books, but do your own homework, find them. But they're out there, and faith communities. And even if there's not one in your local town, you can still call one, and they can do phone sessions, Skype sessions, because that's the role of a pastor or priest, is to help people make sense and understand their faith and their identity and their lifestyle and all that. So yeah, but good luck. Hang in there, though, because these things tend to be able to be resolved. It just can kind of take some time. So hang in there. So yeah, Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex of the world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Our show is podcasted at wearechannelq.com. Go check it out. You can listen to old episodes, share them, repost them, and more importantly, binge listen. Sometimes you want to go back and rehear something. But we'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Y'all, thanks for hanging out with me as always. Slide into those DMs on our Loveline IG or at Dr. Donahue. That's where you get these questions from. So if you have any burning questions, reach out, hit us up, and we'll be answering them on our show. That's where we pull these questions from. But as always, thanks for hanging out with me. And y'all have an awesome, awesome night.